Back on Downtown, it's 4:44 and time for this week's Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joins us. Hello there, sir.
Hey, I'm just singing along.
Me too.
I can't help it.
Nothing better than that. A little Fogarty in your afternoon.
You know, it's one of the weirder things, and I'm sure that my children will experience this at some point if they are actually, you know, cognizant of life. I have experienced so many great works sort of secondarily. For instance, that song was on the Philadelphia soundtrack, which, great soundtrack, great movie. And it was done by, I believe, the Spin Doctors. They covered it. I was like, this is a great song, and nothing against the Spin Doctors. In fact, Chris Behrens from Princeton. But it's one of those, like, I didn't even know. It's like how I saw Caddyshack 2 before I saw Caddyshack 1.
Wow.
It's really, I'm telling you. And songs especially, you know, you hear it, and you're like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then you hear the original, and you're like, oh, that's far better. And then sometimes not, I guess, in fairness. Well, hey, Rich, how's your first week running solo? You doing all right?
It's better today. Yesterday, I was a little at sea. I kept looking around for that steady hand, the gentle nod from Kerry Haskell. But today, all by myself. Although he was here when I came in, he's in the building doing some office work and finishing up. So it was a bit poignant. I watched him walk away at 4 o'clock.
Oh, God, that's so sad.
I know.
But that's good. Well-deserved.
Oh, yes.
Man, you know. Good God. And you got Stack coming back. That's fun.
That's the word. Stack is going to join us on the next few Fridays that I'm on the road.
That's great. I've been doing this bit so long, I know whom of you speak.
Right. You've been around so long, when we've cycled back to the original producer, that's still in your time.
That's good. Hey. Well, you know, a little consistency is good in your life.
Oh, yes.
So, hey, I hope everybody's good. Speaking of consistency, my football team is still mediocre. That's fun. So today we travel to Portugal. Portugal is really cool. What can I start to say about Portugal? I mean, we've talked about it a lot, obviously, over all these years, speaking of which. I'll remind everybody that it was extraordinarily isolated politically, certainly commercially, from the rest of Europe for a good long time in the last century, because of the Franco regime, and the separation of Spain essentially kept it isolated in a big, big way, especially when it came to viticulture. And this is one of those silver lining stories where, instead of planting everything to Merlot and Cabernet Sauvignon, they didn't. So there are 120 native varietals in Portugal that we know of that are entirely unique to Portugal, which, for those of you who are familiar, obviously is not a big area. And for those of you who aren't familiar, it is not a big area. So just quickly to sort of talk about Portugal, it is essentially the bottom two-thirds of the west coast of the Iberian Peninsula, which is Spain, essentially, a lot of it is hot, but quite a bit of it, being up against the Atlantic coast / inlet to the Mediterranean, is coastal. So you've got an incredible swath of lands available to you. You've also got a lot of soil types, which we'll talk about in a second. You've got a lot of climatological occurrences. For instance, as we start at the top, a lot of people, there's two main wines, obviously, that people are familiar with. Actually, probably three, but you don't think of the third. From Portugal, the number one is port, and we'll get to that again. But I've covered port in earlier segments, so we'll kind of gloss over that a little bit. The other one is Vino Verde. And the third is Madeira, and not a lot of people think of Madeira as a Portuguese wine, if you've even heard of Madeira at all, but we will cover that, and indeed, the island of Madeira is Portuguese property or soil, and is a fortified wine that needs to be talked about. But let's start at the beginning, at the top. So Vino Verde means green wine. Indeed, the Mino region where it is, which is just below the river of the same name, is very wet. Not a lot of ripening happens, which is why some of the green wines, you basically picked them, and they weren't quite ripe, so they had a lot of inherent acidity. Now you're getting, because of climate change, a little bit more ripening. You're also getting different trellising systems. That is how you're training the vines. So they're training them to get more sunlight, less moisture, and more ripening, hence. So you're actually seeing some vino verde that is minerally and wonderful and equals some of the great Chablis and things like that. So just an interesting region. They also have some other grapes there that are definitely worth looking into, specifically the Alvarinho, which if anybody knows the Albarino from just north of that river in Spain, Alvarinho is the same grape. It has that sort of honeyed tone. But in this region, it takes on more of sort of a minerally vivacious thing. So it's pretty neat to check out. Also, the grape Loriero makes some sort of nice quasi-unctuous white wines that are worth getting to know. The other part of the northern space in Portugal, of course, is the Douro Valley, which is where all the grapes for port are grown, as well as some grapes that are destined for, regular still table wines, which are absolutely extraordinary. The soil there is almost non-existent. So the Romans, again, came in, they built terraces, and those have been continued so that you can catch whatever little soils you have. It's a fairly inhospitable climate. It's hot. Malaria is common. The famous wine writer Jancis Robinson called it a land of desolation. Sounds charming. But anyway, it happens to grow the grapes that are making Portugal the most famed fortified wine region in the world. So there you go. Quickly, as we move down, because I do want to hit sort of all these regions, and then we'll go back to the port region. Below there, the place that a lot of people will perhaps visit is the Lisbon area, right? Or as they call it, Lisboa. But Lisbon, of course, the capital, beautiful, historic, and it'll surprise no one that the variety of wines there range from the absolute crap, because it's touristy, to really interesting and sometimes very historic, sometimes very modern. South of Lisbon is where you find the famed region of Setúbal, which grows Muscatel, Muscatel de Setúbal, which we actually carry one very fine variation of, and it is just this wonderful dessert wine that is citrusy, like orange rind and toasted almond, and it's one of the world's great dessert wines. So that is from south of Lisbon, but this is an interesting area on the coast. Actually, I forgot to mention just briefly, north of there is the Dão region, DAO, which is making probably the most interesting and diverse red wines in the Portuguese area, out of, again, mostly these native varietals, Touriga Nacional, things like this. Briefly, there's the region of Alentejo. Alentejo is sort of two distinct regions. Near the city of Porto Alegre, it's a little more moist. It is also a little bit more favorable in terms of soil types. And so you have the granite and schist. And so you have more elegant whites and also some really, really nice reds made out of the grape Alicante Busquet, which is one of the three grapes that is has red juice. And then, as I was mentioning, there's the island of Madeira. Madeira is an island to the southwest of Portugal. It's famous because they made wine, and it was okay. They made fortified wine. It was oxidized. But then they put it on ships, and then they sailed it across the equator, where it was very, very hot. And once the ships got to where they were going or got back, they noticed that this heat-treated wine was really, really good. So now that's what they do. They literally heat treat the wines in the better variations, obviously, sort of naturally in barrels in warehouses. But, of course, industrial versions are more forced. But that is Madeira, in case anybody's ever sipping on a Madeira, which are exquisite and, of course, gained a lot of fame here during our revolutionary period. I'm sure I'm out of time, so I'm just going to quickly say that since we talked about port, I shan't glance over that this time. And I think we're going to start on the New World next week because we've got to get through a lot of stuff. But in the meantime, Rich, good fortune on your new solo venture. And should you bring on a new producer, of course, he's going to have to get vetted by us long timers. So just do keep that in mind.
Oh, that's part of the process. There's no doubt about that. Thank you, Eric. Enjoy Thursday night. Don't stay up too late watching those Giants.
It's all going to depend heavily on how the first couple minutes go, much as the Cowboys game went. Yeah, that went off real quick.
Sometimes so, they make it easy to go to bed early, right?
I hope they don't, but I do have Brock Purdy on my fantasy team, so we'll just have to find out.
There you go. Thanks, Eric. Have a good week.
Be well.
That is Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, with Message in the Bottle here on Downtown.